DavidRedeke.com. It's a website you need to have bookmarked. I've got the links up on our Facebook page now. I've got something better. The real man himself. Hello, David.
Yeah, good to be with you again, Bilko.
What's going on in your world?
There's a lot happening. Got good skies here. We're getting into the best part of the year coming up. And, gee, there's a lot of news around at the moment.
Tell you what.
Just so much to look at and think about.
NASA desperate to stay relevant. Now they're talking about planning to build a moon-orbiting space station. I thought the ISS was what we had up there. Do we need another one?
Yeah, I think we do. The ISS, the space station we've got up there, is not going to be suitable for any long-distance travel that we've got in mind. This is a gateway project. This is something they looked at many, many decades ago. But we didn't have the technology at the time to do it. We didn't have the people. The foresight wasn't there. And the money wasn't there either. But it seems that things are looking good now. Now, Mike Pence has come out with a claim saying they want this done by 2024. I think it'll be more close to the end of that decade. So it's a lunar orbiting gateway. It's a platform. It's going to help humanity extend its reach. It's going to extend our footprint out further past the moon and onto Mars. We need a halfway station, somewhere where you can leave here with a minimum amount of fuel and supplies, because as we said before, it does cost a lot to launch.
Yeah.
And if you can reduce that cost, you can reduce the price of the ticket.
So being at the moon's better than, say, where the ISS is.
Yeah, well, being on the moon, we've got more advantages there. We can go down to the surface more easily. You can stop there, change, clean up. Refuel. Passengers, if you've got them for a trip there, can get into a little spacecraft and go down there, come back again. You can monitor the surface. You can run little rovers there quite easily. We can do so many things. And, of course, you know, we can also use that as a way station, as I said,
yeah,
a refueling point, a refreshing point between here and the outer planets. I think it's necessary to have one of these things there. It's a good idea. It's close to the moon than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And it's on a very wide orbit. The orbit's going to take it way out, swing way out in space to about 70,000 K.
Oh, okay, that's far.
Yeah, that's a long way. It'll come in as close as a bit over 1,000.
Because I thought being on the moon, you know how we've talked about Isaac Asimov's space elevator from Earth? Well, the moon would be probably a lot more stable to put a space elevator in, but if you're saying the satellite's out that far, probably won't be practical.
Well, it's got a disadvantages, of course, but there's nothing happens there. It's quiet. It's steady. It's constant. Everything you see is what you get all the time. Constant heat, constant cold at night time.
We love constant
meteorite bombardment now and then. And the fact is that, you know, an anchor point on the you couldn't anchor point the moon and the Earth, but that's a bit too far. But certainly living and working on the moon is going to be quite feasible.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier to work on the moon than setting up a base on Mars.
Oh, for sure. Or I mean, it's you know, there's not as much gravity.
Good. It's a place to go to. And Elon Musk now is talking about hooking up, and somebody already paying a great amount of money.
Wow.
To go for a ride around the moon and come back again.
More at davidrenicky.com. Now, this story's got a few of the conspiracy theorists talking. This mysterious closure of a solar observatory in New Mexico. What have you heard? What do you know, David?
I tell you what, this story is really, really strange. Nobody can understand what's going on here, let alone the people who run it. Let me just set the scene for you.
Yes.
Here's a nondescript solar observatory in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of White Sands in New Mexico. If you've ever been there, this is a crazy place. We've got Roswell, New Mexico, not too far away from that. And, of course, that's the site of the proposed or supposed UFO crash in 1947. Socorro, New Mexico, all these places are in a desert region. Now, there's a solar observatory there. It's been there for a while. It's called the Sunspot Solar Observatory near Holloman Air Force Base. White Sands is near there, too. It's a missile range, a proving ground. And I do believe that we're some sort of a nuclear or atomic test were done there in the past.
Okay.
But look, let's look at it now. They came in, the FBI came in last week, closed the place down, told everyone to go home. No explanation for it, no reason for it, but just locked it up, and it's now under federal control. Now, what's going on here? What would cause that?
Well, what are they seeing in the sky? Is there something that they don't want us to know? I'm talking about the establishment, the government. Is there something they're observing that we should know about and they don't want us to know?
Well, your guess is as good as anyone else's.
Yeah.
They asked the local sheriff, and the local sheriff said, very abnormal. He's not seen it or heard anything like this. He doesn't know what's going on. The FBI won't say anything. But when they were pressed for some information, the only thing they came out with was, in an email, that it's going to remain closed until further notice.
Yeah.
And they cited, quote, ongoing security concerns.
Right.
Now, what could that be?
What, someone broke in?
Well, what would you break into that? There's nothing there to break into.
Well, maybe there's aliens there, Dave.
Yeah, the UFO spinners are out there. Everyone, all the conspiracy theorists are on their high horses now. But look, let's look a bit more practically at this thing.
Yeah.
It could be, very much could be. There's speculation. The best way to look at speculation is with a jaundiced viewpoint. But there's speculation out there now from the armchair experts that perhaps, you know, this is a wide one, and perhaps that the Americans have developed, which they've always said they wanted to do, because it's on the cards, war in space. They've developed a nuclear weapon they want to test in space.
Right, okay.
Now, this is a thermonuclear device, very powerful, and this observatory is designed to pick up thermal energy, heat, and it's designed to look at the sun. So it could be that they've closed this thing down because it's probably the only thing it'll be that could detect what they're going to do or have done. And now, if they do detonate a nuclear device up there, and it is a high-power thermonuclear bomb of some sort, you're going to have a radiation pattern up there that's a very hot pattern, radiation pattern up there that's going to be a bit of a worry to those, and certainly to the Chinese or the Russians if they get any wind of it. We don't know. Look, let's just wait and see what happens. But you've got to ask yourself, why would a small little solar observatory in the middle of nowhere be closed down by the FBI? Yeah.
So if the sheriff shut it down, okay, it would be a minor incident. FBI is, you know, government, there's more to it. So, and that's what, the fact that they've done this are raising the questions. If they wanted to keep it low-key, maybe they should have done it some other way.
Mulder and Scully.
Oh, yes. More at davidrenicky.com. This is a great idea. We know for shipping around the northern parts of our planet where there's ice, you never know exactly where those ice flows are. However, that is going to be a possibility, tracking the ice now, David.
Yeah, we're going to do this in unparalleled detail. This is a thing called Ice Cloud, Satellite 2, or ISAT 2. It's the most technically advanced ice monitoring spacecraft ever launched. It's up there now. It's going to be able to measure changes in the ice thickness up to a height of about 0.4 of a millimetre every year. And that's about as thick as a pencil.
Right.
It's going to give us a view of the changing systems, especially around the poles. We're going to understand how ice is changing. It helps us understand why it's changing. And it's going to give scientists a better forecast avenue for rising sea levels and climate shift. Who knows what they're doing up there, but certainly climate change is on the lips of most people. There are people for it. There are people against it. But this is a way of building up and collecting a lot of information. 15 years of data by its predecessor was being used, ISAT 1 that went up there. I'm just looking at some notes I've got.
Well, David, you enjoy a cruise, do you?
Yeah, well, yes, I'd love to go to the
ice. Well, can you imagine if you're tracking every bit of ice flow, then how much safer is it for a cruise ship to go and actually visit these areas?
Yeah, well, it'd be okay. I wouldn't mind travelling down to these places. They say the Arctic, the Antarctic, is really a great, beautiful site to have a look at. But, of course, climate change and the shifting and moving of the ice shelf and the melting of the poles and everything is what's on people's minds. I don't know. Everyone's got their own viewpoint. And, you know, this is something I don't want to talk about, really, in mixed company, because you either insult somebody or you get on their bad side, or you just sort of, it starts arguments. There are so many people that are so into this sort of thing, you know.
Don't get me started, David. You know, the problem is you present a point of view or you start a discussion, and if people don't agree with you, you're either racist or you're not LGBTIQ. They turn it into something else rather than a heated...
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with an argument or heated discussion, because that's how we grow and that's how we learn. Yeah. But when you start blocking people and shutting them down because you don't agree, that's not on.
Yeah, where I get off is when they say they read it on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah.
Or somebody said, you know...
Talk to the hand.
I remember Margaret Thatcher when she was told, you know, somebody said something, and she stood there, and I remember she got this reporter and she really grilled him. Tell me who they are. Who are they? Who are somebody, you know? And that's it, isn't it? Hearsay is not good. But anyway, these are the things that are going on in our world at the moment. And as I say, you know, it looks like, you know, we might have a paying passenger.
Good.
Paying many, many, many dollars. They're talking billions here, and he'll be releasing that name of who that person is very soon.
Well, I'm sure we could Google all the billionaires in the world and find a handful of maybe 30 to 50 people, so it's
never
one
know.
Of those.
Never know.
Anyway, have a look at davidrenicky.com, and you've got a great interview there with an astronaut that these Adelaide students managed to get hold of. How good is that? That's a great coup.
Can you imagine how chuffed these kids were? This is the Walford Anglican School for Girls in South Australia. And they had the advantage recently, courtesy of their principal, Rebecca Clark, during a STEM career program, which is aimed mainly at female involvement in science, trying to get girls involved in it. And what they did was they hooked up one of the astronauts on the space station. They did a live cross. Well, now you've done a lot of interviews on radio. How'd you like to be able to talk to it? Yeah, a guy up there.
Well, I almost had the opportunity to chat to who was the guy in space for about a year and had the twin. What was his name?
Kelly.
Commander Kelly. Yeah, when that was all going on, I nearly got an opportunity to do a live hookup. Didn't happen, but it was in the process of being worked through. So,
that would have gone well.
That would have been lovely, mate. I could have, you know. Had my own claim to fame, but alas, didn't occur. But anyway, have a look at the interview and how it works. I mean, the STEM program is something my girl's interested in. She wants to be an engineer.
Yeah.
She's 15, and I'm thinking I should send her to this school in Adelaide. I think they've got the right idea.
Well, look, women are now, young girls, have got the opportunity of getting involved with science subjects in a way that they never could before. Science in the main was usually what boys were taught. Girls shied away from it. It's just like in schools for many decades, and when I went to school, it was like this. The boys did metalwork and woodwork, and the girls did cooking and home science. I mean, this is all open up now. NASA accepting gender. It's gender-friendly, and there are opportunities now for women and girls to get involved in any aspect of science and certainly the space program.
How's this, David? My 15-year-old daughter, so she wants to be an engineer. My 14-year-old son is happy to be a chef. See, 20 or even 50 years ago, you'd have grandparents saying, really should be the other way around, where these days, who cares what you want to do? You know?
Well, that's it. That's how things are changing now, see. The only thing you can be sure of, Bill, I mean, women getting into these areas is great now. It's open wide up, and you can certainly see there are so many opportunities for them. The only thing I wouldn't suggest, you point her in the direction of being a politician.
No way. Have a look at DaveArenicki.com. All these stories are more in there, and if you like calendars with a bit of a difference, there's a link to some great astronomy calendars for next year.
We've only got a few of these left. I'll tell you what, I've sold nearly 200. I've got about 20 or 30 left. Now, if you want one, these are really beautiful calendars for next year, all done with the guys around Australia, the amateurs photographing the sky. There's all the information on the planets and the moon and everything on them, and they're only $19. So we've got them on our website right now, davidrenicki.com, DavidRenicke.com. And when they're gone, well, they'll probably only last a week, but they'll be gone.